We are studying in the larger catechism tonight the answer to number 105. We have been there for a little while already, and we are not quickly leaving it. There is a lot of very useful study in this first commandment, in the answer that's given. So we're not going to go over all of it, but number 105, if you have your catechism, larger catechism, number 105, you can, I'll tell you what point I want you to take up with me. What are the sins forbidden in the first commandment? Well, we will skip once we get down here. The sins forbidden in the first commandment are, we'll skip 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines and come down to where we were last time, which was some time ago. It must have been like 3 weeks ago. So we come to false opinions, unworthy and wicked thoughts of him. Now that's where we got to. And now tonight, bold and curious, searching into his secrets. All profaneness, hatred of God, self-love, self-seeking. Now we'll pause at that point, but I want to go over to the next page, and we come to a line that I need to do with this, and it's at the end of the paragraph on page 189, if you have the big one. All compacts and consulting with the devil, in page 190. And hearkening to his suggestions. Now that may sound a little strange tonight, but I believe that the Lord has clearly brought us to this, to study these together. Now we're going to look first of all at page 188, if you have the big book, in the answer. It is bold and curious, searching into his secrets. Bold and curious, searching into his secrets. And the verse that is given for that is Deuteronomy 29:29. Very important verse. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, the secret things belong to the Lord. All right? But the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children, that we may obey them. So we, as we study God's word, and thereby learn his ways and his dealings with us by providence, there are things that we will not understand. I don't know, but I would presume that everyone here that has known the Lord for a while and studied his word for a while have come at times to things that you really didn't understand. Well, we are commanded to study God's word. We are commanded to read it. We are free and welcome to study his divine revelation that he's given. So I want to think of two words here in particular: revelation and predestination. We are at times concerned about the future, and we would like to know something about the future. But this verse tells us The secret things belong to the Lord. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord. His secret will, that which he has predestined for the future, we are not to pry into it beyond what is written in the revelation of Holy Scripture. Now, we must submit ourselves to his all-wise sovereign will. But some people are totally unwilling to trust the Lord. Even some people who call themselves Christians, they say that they want to know more. And they do as King Saul did. They tried to pry into what was going to be happening, and not being satisfied with the word of the Lord that he had and the word of the Lord that had been given to him, what did King Saul do? He sought by occult and satanic means to try to pry into the future. Now, this is very serious, because in our country today, there is an increase in this very thing. Now, I want us to turn to Deuteronomy for just a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 9. We'll read a few verses here. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. And we will see as we read on here that one of the things that God hated was people in the land of Canaan, these heathen tribes, that through satanic occult means were trying to pry into the future. Verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Now, there were those that made child sacrifice. And of course, America, and even those many in the professing church, fingers are stained with the blood of the innocents, even by having abortions. Well, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, that is, demons, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Now, this term, divination, you can look it up in a good dictionary. And divination is foretelling the future by means of occult, by means of evil spirits, or professed supernatural communications. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21 tell us the things which the Gentiles, or the heathen — Gentile means heathen or a pagan — the things that the pagans sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons, or devils, it is in the Authorized Versions, and not to God. The apostle tells the Corinthians, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Paganism, devil worship, has been on the rise in the so-called Christian West for decades now, because the true light of life-throbbing biblical Christianity has been waning for a long time in the West. Those of us who were older are shocked by what we see coming out into the public eye in our society. I would say that 50 years ago, when I was a 13-year-old boy, if you saw someone who had been away in the Navy, someone who had been away in service, and you saw a man during warm weather, you saw his arm, you would be shocked to see a tattoo. It would be, when I was a child, it was a terrible shame for anybody to say that anybody in their family was divorced. I remember in our farming community where I lived, until I was in the sixth grade, we moved out here to Lawrence County. I remember there was one family where there was divorce, and it was a shame. It was a hush-hush thing. Nobody would talk. That was so awful, you wouldn't even talk about it. And so it was in that society 50 years ago, our society 50 years ago, you did not see people with tattoos. It was a shocking thing to see a man that had been far off somewhere. There were no public tattoo parlors. They did not exist in this area. I had no clue. Okay. Now, all right. What I'm talking about is the devil worship, this trying to find out things that are future by this means. I mean, that was, you just didn't hear, but it was something undercover, all this stuff. Those who would be involved with paganism. Now, I say look in an old dictionary, because if you look in a new politically correct dictionary, I got one at a used book sale last year. It was like a brand new dictionary. Very thoroughgoing dictionary. It says a pagan is someone, this is politically correct, a pagan is someone who is not a Christian, Muslim, or a Jew. That's a pagan. Okay. If you go back to the Encyclopedia Britannica two-volume dictionary that I have used since I was a child in elementary school, if you go back to that, a pagan is a heathen that is not a Christian. Anybody who is not a Christian is known as a pagan. It was back then. Of course, now we've moved into this new era of political correctness. Now, in regard to this matter of tattoos, this is so shocking because it is just horrible. The body piercing, you didn't see that. You didn't see tattoos. I mean, it was an absolutely unthinkable thing for a woman to have a tattoo. And of course, now you can be tattooed for Jesus. Have a witness for Jesus with your tattoo. Okay. All right. So now let's jump ahead in our study. And we're not leaving this issue. We're going on to this part that I said. If you go over on page 189 in your larger catechism, if you have the big book, it says at the end of that section, all compacts and consulting with the devil and hearkening to his suggestions. Now, Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, Peter said to Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? He was lying to the Holy Ghost. We know that the evil one makes his vile accusations every time we sin. Do you ever have the sudden feeling when you sin, you're not a Christian at all? Was that the Holy Spirit that told you that? Not on your life. When you sin, dear believer, and immediately there is this hiss or whisper of the serpent, you're not a Christian at all, you big lying thing saying you're a Christian. That is the serpent's accusation. So don't give in to it for a moment. We know that he is a liar and the father of lies, John 8:44. But are we not prone to say, I would never do such a thing as consult with or listen to the devil? That's good. And so I say that 50 years ago, no Christian in this country that I know of would have walked into a tattoo parlor and paid to have ink put in their flesh. But now that the law of God has been so long despised by the professing church in America, tattoos are okay even for the preacher if the preacher does one for Jesus. Got something here on my arm, I'll show the world for Jesus. But what about the Word of God? Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 19 for a moment. Leviticus chapter 19. Okay. I don't want to be offensive tonight. But I have to say there came a time in our home where the old man put his foot down. And, you know, of course I knew a lot of the young ladies and girls were getting their ears pierced. I don't believe my wife has ever had her ears pierced, but we did succumb to the horrendous peer pressure and the odious influence of society. And I think I let both my daughters undergo that horrible rite of paganism. Okay. So anyway, you see where I'm coming from, the old compromiser. So Leviticus 19, and let's look at verse 28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. All right. Now, okay, so I'm not doing it for the dead. All right, let's go on here. Verse 28. Nor print any marks upon you. This is another thing. I am the Lord. That stands by itself. I am the Lord. Ye shall not print any marks upon you. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Now, it's true that if you go over to, let's see here, we're going to look at verse 26 above this. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantments nor observe times. And then go down to verse 27. Ye shall not round the corners of your heads. That is making the beard not be natural, but try to, you know, shape it like the pagans did. That was the reason for this rule. Verse 29, do not prostitute thy daughter, cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Well, America is certainly fallen to that. All this horrible pornography and everything, it's the same thing. And then let's look over at Deuteronomy chapter 14. Now, God goes over this again and again, and in the 14th chapter of Deuteronomy and verse 1. People used to believe this, you know. Deuteronomy 14:1, ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. Verse 2, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. If you go back to the old commentators, they will tell you that these cuttings in the flesh and printing and marks in the flesh were done in remembrance of others, or done for those things that were important to the people. The pagans would do that for what was special to them. They would make these marks. Now, how did we get here? in this point 50 years later, after 50 years ago, you hardly ever heard of such things in our society. How did we get here? We got here by a century of false teaching, heresy concerning the interpretation of the Holy Scriptures. And in Reformation Month, we are going to look at some of the forgotten principles of the Reformation. That's how we got to interpreting the Scriptures wrongly in America. Okay, crazy stuff. The law of God doesn't mean anything anymore. It's not for us. It was just for those Jews, you know. Well, heresy concerning the interpretation of Scripture. Very, very sad reality. But I want us to go to another word. If you go back to the beginning where we started tonight on the larger catechism, number 105, the sins forbidden in the first commandment, in the page 188, we had bold and curious searching into his secrets, and then all profaneness. Now, what is this profaneness? The profaneness that is being spoken of is from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, this was very important. Esau is called a profane person because to him, his spiritual, his temporal birthright and these blessings meant no more to him than a bowl of beans. I don't know if you ever heard the expression, all beans. You know? That's nicer than saying some things, but, you know, Esau did not have any more regard for holy things, being the priest of the family, having the double portion, and all of those things were not important to him any more to him than a bowl of beans. Now, what does this mean, profaneness? He's not talking about cussing. An unborn baby's body is no more than a little unwanted tissue. That's profaneness. An ungodly person could actually tear out pages out of a Bible in order to roll up some tobacco and make homemade cigarettes. That's profaneness. Having no more respect for holy things or doing worse with the pages of Holy Scripture. So, we are commanded very clearly not to try to search into those things that are not for us. We have God's revelation, but God's predestination and the future is not altogether for us to know. There are things about it that we don't know. But I will tell you this, that through a close walk with God, a very intimate relationship with the Lord will at times give his people a word of Scripture that will come with power. It's almost like the voice of God revealing something. In the Greek, you have two different Greek words for word in the New Testament. One is logos, the other is rhema. And a rhema word, a message where the Spirit of God takes a Scripture and brings it home to your heart with power, that's what John Welch knew. We've read John Welch before. How did John Welch know that in those saddlebags, on those beasts of burden, there was the plague? When he was out there praying, God made it very clear to him the will of God by a rhema word. He knew because he had such a close walk with God. But we cannot pry into the future by trying to get into what God has predestined that he has not revealed. But, you know, on those very interesting occasions, God can reveal it by his word and spirit. So, we are not to have bold and curious searching into his secrets. We are to avoid all profaneness. And then the hatred of God. Romans chapter 1 verse 30 speaks of backbiters and haters of God, despiteful, proud, and boasters. You know, you either love Him because He first loved you and brought you to know His love, or you hate His law, you hate His commandments, you hate His restraints, you hate His authority, you hate His holiness, you hate His justice, you hate His sovereignty. We are told, where we're singing it while ago, we were His enemies. Number 54 in our hymn book, we were singing about that. Yes, I have a hymn book right here. Number 54, yes, that is pretty amazing. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. With verse 1 of 54, whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Now being, as the scripture tells us, in Romans chapter 8 and in the verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. And it's the same thing Jesus said. In John chapter 3 verse 20, He said that men hate the light. He's the light. They hate the light. Why? Because the light shows up those crawly, ugly, slimy iniquities that they don't want to see themselves and they don't want anybody else to know about them. So the light, men hate the light and hate God because He is light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So we are warned about this hatred of God. Now, notice two other things and we'll be done. Self-love. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Wow. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. This is the age of self-love. This is the age of self-esteem. Even within the evangelical church, self-love is promoted, self-esteem. But Scripture teaches us something a little different. Judah, would you look up Ezekiel 36 and verse 31? Rather than loving ourselves, we must love others. 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I have not charity, I am nothing. Now what is charity? Charity is that love of giving to those in need. Okay? If I don't have charity, if I don't have that kind of love, I am nothing. So, in regard to loving ourselves, if you would, Judah, read Ezekiel 36, verse 31.
Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations.
Thank you. To loathe ourselves is to see ourselves, and it makes us so sick of ourselves. To be nauseated with ourselves because of our sin. Well, Jesus taught us rather than spending our time loving ourselves that we are to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and follow Him. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Of course we are not to hate ourselves. We are not to hate ourselves. We are to take care of ourselves. We are to nourish our bodies. We are to care for our bodies. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. Ephesians 5, 29. No man in his right mind hates his own flesh. You know, if you're sane, you don't hate your own flesh. We are to care for ourselves, our body's health, so that we can love our neighbor as ourselves. But we are to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. So self-love is not where we are to be consumed. That is a form of idolatry. loving ourselves instead of loving the Lord as we should. And then the last thing is self-seeking. This is a sin forbidden in the first commandment. Philippians chapter 2, verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Now, putting our own interests, desires, and goals before the Lord's interest. That's what he's talking about. It is having a greater concern for our own comfort, for our own goals, for our own affluence, than we have for the welfare of Christ's church. Wow. Loving the Lord, being submissive to the first commandment and putting Him first includes not self-seeking, but rather giving ourselves first for Him and for the welfare of His church. Greater concern for Him and His church than for our own comfort, our own desires, our own goals, and our own affluence. May God help us. This is some very heavy stuff that we see why we have come to the place that we have come in America and in the professing church in America, because the law of God has been forgotten. And thankfully, it's still something of a shock to some of us, as we realize what has happened in the last 50 years of our lives. To see society completely turned around and godliness turned on its head in America. What a grief. So what is the remedy? The remedy is getting back to God's law. It is having a thrilling personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, praying for the fullness of His Spirit and for reviving grace. God is able to do that. It starts with loving the Lord personally, having a love relationship with the triune God ourselves.